You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and I'm so excited that you could join me because I get to introduce you to another great host on Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's right, Coach Mark of Power in a Half Hour is here with me to talk about how the millionaires and billionaires became so successful and how you can do it too. So it's going to be a very exciting show for all of us that want to achieve success in our lives. So let's talk about the importance of your feelings, because they are so necessary and vital and powerful in this journey we call life, and it's so misunderstood. You know, years of schooling failed to teach me the remarkable way in which the unconscious and subconscious levels of our mind struggles to communicate with us. It wasn't until I entered the practice of hypnotherapy and had the opportunity to talk with clients who were in the state of hypnosis, where both subconscious and unconscious material is available, that's when I really started to put things together. As I began to understand the secret language of feelings and then teach it to my clients, the results were incredible. Clients began to take back control of their lives. They made significant progress with difficult issues such as addictions, obsessions, compulsions, depression, sadness, and frustration. They were able to lose weight and eliminate other self-defeating behaviors. They became generally happier and more confident, secure. Be assured that you can get this kind of relief without the use of hypnosis. However, some people may find that meeting with a skilled hypnotherapist helps to benefit more rapidly and fully from the knowledge of the value of feelings. Now, if you ask a doctor, clergy, psychologist, or counselor, what are feelings for? They probably wouldn't have a fast answer for it. Yet feelings have a purpose far more important in helping us create enjoyable and meaningful lives. I believe the answer to the question, what are feelings for, should be common knowledge to every helping professional, teacher, minister, manager, and parent. Why? Because our feelings are nature's built-in guidance system. The system was designed to let us know what needs are not being fulfilled in our lives and that will motivate us to take actions necessary to fulfill them. When we ignore our feelings, our basic needs remain unmet. Our lives become filled with frustration, stress, and eventually depression. This is where psychology and medicine really have let us down. Basically, healthy individuals who have sought help because of feeling sad or mad or otherwise bad are routinely prescribed drugs, you know, emotion-numbing medications that actually flatten out our lives in the hope that they may be able to respond to issues and challenges without becoming emotional. Actually, that's what people want, is to feel without emotion. It's an oxymoron. Adding chemicals to our body may make us feel better as long as we take them, but the drugs cure nothing. In fact, they blank out the very mechanism that nature created to help us recognize and satisfy our needs. In addition, the diagnosis we're given often become limiting labels and self fulfilling prophecies of inadequacy. We may become emotional, if not physically, addicted to the drugs. We may feel powerless and begin to believe that if we lack some chemical, well, then we must be handicapped. At this point, how well we can do in our lives greatly depends, according to our medically manipulated beliefs, on the continuous of prescribed drugs that we are encouraged to take, rather than on what ourselves can do to move forward in self-understanding and personal growth. Well-meaning professionals then spend their valuable time with the clients, encouraging them to stay on their meds. Unfortunately, they're trained to believe that that is the best thing they can do for their clients. I'm not saying that medical intervention is never needed or advised, but what I'm advocating is that before professionals make a diagnosis or prescribe a medication to alter the patient's experience of his or her own feeling, they should be able to quickly and confidently answer the simple and important question, what are feelings for? And if they can answer that, then they are well equipped to restore the patient to a satisfying life. Now, the question may be asked, why do we bury our feelings at all? We need to greatly reduce feelings of stress, anger, sadness, loneliness, frustration, and depression without having to manage or suppress them in any dysfunctional or self-defeating way, including illegal drugs, alcohol, bad habits, or addictions. We need to become aware of the internal guidance system that has always been there for us ever since we were born, but which society and perhaps our families actually taught us to ignore because they didn't make any sense. As a society, we have a long tradition of suppressing feelings. At a time when our country was being settled by frontiersmen and women, there was no assurance that an individual's need could or would be fulfilled. Under the circumstances, it made little sense to complain of hardships. So these stoic men and women ignored the emotional pain they experienced and simply did what needed to be done. Such was also the case during the Great Depression and World War II. The men and women of those times are our nation's heroes, strong, silent types who are held up as models, the people we look up to. With Stoics as our accepted model, it's no wonder that from the time we were children, we were made to feel bad, even guilty for expressing anything other than the quiet acceptance of any emotional pain that we found within ourselves. The only feeling that we were permitted to express was pleasure about what was going on around us. In some families, we were even cautioned not to be too happy or too optimistic. After all, such a positive thinking may only lead to disappointment. And then there are many today who are self-proclaimed gurus, which state you can only think positive thoughts in order to create the perfect life. And the truth is, the people who are followers of the law of attraction, often ignoring their most powerful resource, their internal guidance system. And then people get frustrated that the law of attraction isn't working for them. But they have totally ignored their own internal feelings, which are so important to get you where you need to go. Now let's talk about childhood for just a second here, because we learned how to not react in our life based on our childhoods. Some of us have grown up in environments where expressing sadness or showing signs of anger or fear was actually punished. We've all experienced or witnessed a situation where a crying child is told by someone more powerful to shut up or I'll give you something to cry about. Immediately, the child is trained to stuff their feelings down to avoid punishment. As a result, this child may end up denying ever having felt the pain. This kind of denial can lead to suppression or repression, resulting in emotional pressure that will eventually find a way to surface, even in the form of addiction, obsession, or compulsion. Criticism and emotional abuse often follow when the child expresses feelings that society say are wrong. Boys are told that when they express sadness and cry, they're acting like little girls. Such criticism may lead to feelings of inadequacy and shame. Then those feelings will also be squelched. Now, girls are told that expressing feelings of anger is unattractive. If girls express their dissatisfaction, they're told they are not being feminine. And they can be cast out of social groups when they don't acquiesce to unfair situations, thereby being taught only how to show feelings that are acceptable for girls, such as sadness, but not too much sadness. Too much sadness can lead to crying, which also may not be allowed. Girls may even be accused of crying only to manipulate those around them. Thus, it seems like for both boys and girls, exhibiting feelings is a losing situation. Both children and adults are even told that it's immoral to experience feeling bad. This is especially true if we feel angry. Furthermore, our society tells us that we're ill if we become depressed. Again, we bury these feelings and deny ever having felt them in an effort to appear normal. Now, when you repress these feelings, they are still very much in your body. They're in the cells, and they become an irritant, which needs to be expelled. So at some time in your life, you are going to blow. So what does this mean? There is a school of thought that says the right brain doesn't hear negatives. If that is so, what are you actually hearing yourself say to yourself when you blow up is, oh, I'm not going to yell at my kids anymore. Your left brain hears the exact phrase, but your right brain hears, I'm going to yell at my kids. That sets up an internal conflict, which intensifies your struggle with the behavior that you so want to rid yourself of, the blame, the guilt, the feelings that cause you discomfort. Clearly, a more effective strategy is needed because you can't think your way out of those emotions. You can't even talk your way out of those emotions because the more you talk about them, the more they stay alive, the more they stay right smack in your face. Venting may feel temporarily good as it makes you feel less as a victim and more in power of the situation because you were right and the other was wrong. It is truly not a way to rid yourself of the emotions. Now, if our mission in life is to fulfill our purpose, to live in a happier setting, to keep on moving forward, then our goal is to actually hear the messages of our emotions, not suppress them, but to acknowledge them. Now, how do we do that? Number one, we have to identify the emotion. Is it anger or is it sadness? Is it a sense of failure or is it fear? Which kind of fear? Is it fear for your physical safety or is it fear of being exposed? Is it fear of losing something? Remember, even though they may feel uncomfortable, these emotions are gifts from your emotional guidance system. They are here to direct you into where you need to go, how to live that better life. So what you don't want to do is suppress it. For example, If a depressed person were to take a moment to think about what started the depression and when did it first come on, they may discover that it's really anger that they turned inward with feelings of being powerless to do anything about it. In other words, they became angry with themselves. Or perhaps it's about sadness, about not having the experience that you thought you were going to have. It's that expectation that you wanted that was not realized. Or perhaps it's loneliness, which is all about you're not being comfortable with being yourself. Perhaps it's feeling of being unworthy to satisfy your own needs. There are many others, and the more intense the feeling that you are having, the more you wish not to have those feelings. And those are the best feelings of all, because addressing those feelings can catapult into absolute bliss. So what you need to do is to bring these emotions to the surface and really feel them. You may choose to be in a secluded place where you can be by yourself and scream, rant, do anything you need to, but let them come up. Don't stuff them down. In that precise moment when you feel you will become completely unglued, it is at this moment that you can release them before you choose to take an action step. You simply need to say to yourself, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why am I feeling this? Is my thinking really true? Or am I misunderstanding what my inner guidance system is trying to tell me? Is my inner guidance system kind of mixed up with my past? Is what I'm feeling really true? Did it really happen that way? Or am I just assuming it happened that way? Maybe this is an illusion. Maybe I'm not seeing it correctly. And if it is an illusion, then the only thing you can do is just throw up your hands and say, wait a minute. If this isn't true, then why am I getting so emotional about it? I'm just going to release it. It's not true. I don't know if it's true. So why am I wasting my valuable time? I could be doing other things. And then all of a sudden, you have noticed that you are feeling, wow, it's really not that big of a deal because I don't know if it's true. It could just be an illusion on my part. 99% of the time, it is an illusion. So by facing this emotion head on, you not only experience it, you can release it. And you are in a much better place to take an action step that's going to go into the direction that you want to go. Now, remembering, we are talking about all of that repressed emotions, not only from you and your childhood, but from that of your parents and their parents, that comes to you by way of their DNA. So you are having to deal with all of their issues as well. I hate to bring that up, but it's true. So once you are addressing those emotions and releasing them, you are changing that DNA within you for your children and their children and their children. You are setting the perfect example of a healthy future, especially within the collective consciousness. Now, all of this has to do with those emotions that we try to ignore, that we do not want to feel. But there are plenty of emotions that we do want to feel, such as happiness, joy, love, feeling of security, safety. That comes from our internal guidance system as well. That always lets us know that we are on the right track. And when we start releasing all of those repressed emotions, then there's more room for our internal guidance system to bring about all these wonderful new feelings. In other words, when we stop repressing the feelings, a natural phenomenon occurs. We start feeling life differently. We then have more room to experience all the good that life has to offer. Now, when I have clients in a hypnotic state of deep relaxation, I can guide them to weed out all of those repressed emotions from their past, even from their DNA. These are the triggers that make emotions go out of control and consume vital energy. What many people find is that they begin to feel lighter as these emotional triggers begin to pop up from out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, they lose their importance. They lose that emotion. Then it becomes much easier to have people create memories of their future. Yes, I said memories because the mind doesn't know the difference between a memory and the future. It all becomes a memory. So then I can help someone experience the future as if it has already happened. And people wonder why I'm so into the law of attraction, because this is the key component. You are projecting your thoughts into the memory as if it's already happened in order to manifest what it is that you want to occur. This is how it happens. And this is why I use a technique called weeding, because it allows us to weed out all of those repressed emotions without taking the time to go and discover which each one is. And believe me, by the time you're 40 or 50, you have got thousands and thousands and thousands of repressed emotions. And believe me, you don't have enough time on this planet to talk your way through all of those repressed emotions. You just don't. You are more likely to tap into your life's purpose as well, while in this deep state of relaxation where you can actually feel what it is you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime, not only what you are desiring. Now, I say this to anyone out there who might want to try hypnotherapy with me or someone else that may be local. It is a powerful way for you to absolutely change your future and for you to realize that it's okay to feel your emotions. They are the gifts from your internal guidance system. So the reason why I'm even bringing up emotions tonight is because it's time for you to fully engage in life. And you can't do that if you are afraid of these emotions popping up and actually creating havoc. It's time for you to go forward by acknowledging these emotions that are deep inside and then releasing them, allowing them to come up. You are here to experience what it's like to be a human. So suppressing it or being stoic is actually not helping you progress in the spiritual realm. So it's with this I want to say that you are magnificent. Every single one of your emotions is magnificent. If you don't repress them and bring them out and surrender them to the universe, then you cannot fully engage in life. And that's what we must do right now. This is one of the reasons we came here in this particular time. So with that, let's take a fast commercial break and then talk with this fabulous person called Coach Mark, who is going to talk about the success that we all want to experience. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's the science behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jay Warren here, professional basketball player and entrepreneur. And I want to give a testimonial for a good friend of mine, Jules Johnson. I call her a good friend because before I had met her, I've been listening to her Law of Attraction radio show for over 2 years. Just the information she shared on her show was amazing that I had to connect and reach out to this woman. After I reached out to her, we spoke, I had a conversation, and she suggested some sessions to me. And just with those couple of sessions that she has gave me, I've seen the dramatic results in my life. It's been mind-blowing on just what a couple of sessions with her have done for me. You know, she's very humble, she's very honest, but she knows her information. She knows the law of attraction, and she knows the barriers that are keeping you from moving forward in your life. If you're a big believer in the law of attraction, hypnosis, whatever, I highly suggest Jill Johnson for you, because she will definitely lead you down the path that you need to go. So thanks again, Jules. I love you very much. Take care. Bye.
Well, welcome, Coach Mark, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be here.
Well, it's an honor for me to have you on my show, because you have done some spectacular things in your life in actually a very short time frame. So I'm delighted to introduce you to my audience, which will be your audience as well, because you are now on Law of Attraction Radio Network. So, Coach, let's start off with a little bit of your background, because I really want them to get full flavor of you.
Okay. Where would you like me to start?
Well, actually, what got you interested in being a believability coach or a success coach?
Well, you know, what I've done is I studied the top millionaires and billionaires. And what I've come to realize, I was always fascinated with human potential and human development. And what I realize is that, you know what, these people aren't any more special than any of us, right? They've just studied certain things. They've had certain mentors in their life, and they've just applied what they've learned. And once I really understood that, that's what really propelled me to say, you know what, it's not good enough for just me to know. I want to go ahead and share this knowledge with as many people as possible.
Wow, that's great. That is how you serve, actually. That's
absolutely.
Can you tell us some of the major achievements that you've accomplished personally before you became a coach?
Well, you know, before I achieved anything, I went through some like really, really, really rough times. You know, I started off, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur all my life. I went to college, and right before I graduated college, I started up a nightclub. Right? Who figured? But I did that, and that was, you know, that was a really rough period for me, but it was probably one of the best moments of my life, looking back on it now, you know. But things had gotten so rough. My car had gotten repoed, almost was homeless, had to literally steal food to eat from the grocery stores late at night because I just didn't have any money to eat. And I just kind of hit a turning point where I realized that, you know what, I was doing things, something I was doing wasn't right, and I needed to change what I was doing. And from there, I got into doing graphic design, and I left the club business alone. And one of the skills that I developed while I was in the club business was designing flyers, because I didn't have the money to pay anyone to design my flyers. And then I ended up turning that into, you know, when I really just said, you know what, I'm going to focus on just doing this by itself. Within a year, I was like almost homeless, and I turned it into a six-figure business. And then from there, turned it into a multi-million-dollar business. So I'd probably say that was definitely one of my big achievements. And then back in 2009, when the real estate market had crashed, I was fortunate to not have gotten into real estate before then, but then I saw the great opportunity, and then that's when I got into real estate. So I created another multi-million dollar business with real estate, you know, and in 2012, that's when I really just dove into personal development. You know, like before that, I was familiar with motivational speakers and whatnot, but I didn't even realize that personal development was a field, you know. I just thought that you hear motivational Les Brown or, you know, Brian Tracy or whoever every once in a while, and I really kind of got exposed to personal development, and I just like dove in. I kind of can have an addictive personality sometimes with certain things, not anything bad, but like anything that interests me and whatnot. And I just like dove in, and I just realized that wow, this is amazing. A lot of the traits that I'd been using to help me develop success, I realized that there was a system for it, you know. And I just started learning as much as I can. And about a year ago, I decided that I wanted to share this information with as many people as possible.
Wow. And thank goodness you did, because
Thank
I can just see a lot of people understanding, maybe for the first time, like you, that perhaps it's the way that we think that stops us from going forward into our dreams. So let me ask, who were some of the people that you studied, some of the millionaires and billionaires?
Oh man. Well, you know what? Before I even really kind of dove into the millionaires and billionaires, there's a lot of people like Wayne Dyer, a lot of the authors under Hay House, Brian Tracy, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, T. Harv Eker, so many, Les Brown. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, you know? And then from there, I just started studying people like, you know, all of the guys that are in Silicon Valley, all of those young guys that are starting these billion-dollar companies, you know, within like 2 to 3 years, going from like literally zero to, being worth billions of dollars. I just go in and watch all their videos on YouTube, you know, read their books, just study what they're doing. You know, one of my mentors told me the easiest way to success is just to do what other successful people do, you know? And a lot of times, you know, we have this belief that oh, these people that are millionaires and billionaires or super millionaires and billionaires that, you know, they know these secrets that no one else knows. And that's not really true because you can go to a book, I mean the bookstore, I mean inside of a book, like everything that you need to take your life to another level is probably inside of a book, you know? And I just started reading these books, you know, and just started studying these people and find out the habits and the traits that they had and just started trying to implement those same into my life.
So you, when you created your graphics company, you moved from a failing company to something else. You discovered a real talent. But what was the key to your success in moving into the graphic company?
You know what it was, to be honest with you? It was just regaining belief in myself, you know? And I did that by seeing someone else that was as successful that I wanted to emulate, you know? And that's why, you know, even on my show, I always start off with profiling three people that have become very, very successful. And for me, what it was, I'll never forget my self-esteem, because I always had really high self-esteem and confidence in myself. But after that failed attempt with the nightclub and just really just, you know, as low as I can possibly get, just on the floor. And I saw this guy that he did graphic design work and he was in Orlando. And his work was nowhere near what I thought my work was at the time, right? But I knew that this guy was very successful. I heard that he had some nice cars and he was making a whole bunch of money. And I said, you know what? If this guy can do it, I can do it as well. And that's when I realized that I needed to go out there and find out exactly what he was doing and implement those same strategies into my life. And that's what took me to another level. And that's one of the tools that I use to help other people is to show people, similar people that come from a background or a situation just like them, that were able to go to another level, you know? And I say to them, hey, if they can do it, why can't you? You know, a quick story. About 2 months ago, I was riding to Orlando with my son's grandmother, and we were just talking in the car and whatnot. And she was just telling me that she's 62 years old, and she was like, she always wanted to be a nurse. You know, we were talking, and we were just talking about all kinds of stuff or whatever. And then she just made a comment that she always wanted to be a nurse. And I said, well, why you can't do it? She's like, oh, no, there's no way I can do it. I'm way too old. I was like, what are you saying? That makes absolutely no sense. Like, there's people that are older than you that are probably nurses. She's like, no, but yeah, I'm just too old. But you know, I always wanted to be a nurse. It's something that I had a burning desire for it. So you know what I did? When we got stable, I went online and just found other people that had become nurses older than her. Then I just started emailing her all these and text messaging her all these articles. And you know what? She found confidence in that, and she actually signed up to go back to finish her college courses to become a nurse. She starts school next week. Your story.
Oh, how wonderful. How
Right.
wonderful. Yes, I've interviewed quite a few people who graduated with their PhD at age 80.
Right,
I just,
exactly.
that's the age is no factor here. So good for you, Mark, for coaching her forward. I think that's wonderful. Would you say that you need to have a kind of like a laser focus and passion on one business to get it going? Is because I've noticed that a lot of people, including myself, have two or three going at the same time, and it kind of diverts you. What's your opinion about
Absolutely.
that?
Absolutely. And it's something that we all struggle with. I'm struggling myself, especially when the two or three different businesses kind of, we justify it by saying that they all tie into one, right? They're all for this one greater good. But it's amazing to me how I hear a lot of people talk about multiple streams of income. And I tell them, like, hey, you need to get one good stream of income going before you can get multiple streams of income. So what they do is that they look at some of these really successful people, and then you might see like Warren Buffett. He has like what, 300 or 400 or however many different companies and whatnot. But guess what? Warren Buffett has billions of dollars to hire help, and he has people running all these different companies for him,
Right.
So, I just gave this example to a young lady earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, and I said that, basically, you have, just imagine this, right? You have enough water for one plant to grow one plant. And what you're trying to do by having four or five different things going on is that you're splitting up that water, and for that one plant, that you can have that one plant grow and become beautiful, right? And spring off a lot of fruit. But you're trying to split that water up between four or five plants. So what ends up happening is that you have four or five plants that just kind of grow, but and they don't produce any really good fruit, So that's what happens when you don't focus in on one thing, and it's difficult, it's because we all are, to me, we are all geniuses, so we all are blessed with so many different ideas and whatnot. But I can tell you from personal experience in my life, the times that I've had the biggest success is when I focused on one thing and one thing only.
That's very good to know. So is it true that millionaires and billionaires actually think different than, say, the average person?
Absolutely.
How is that? What do they think? What's their, give us a clue on how to think as a millionaire and billionaire.
Okay, I'm gonna give you one right here. Well, not only do they think different, they have different habits. So, one of the things, right, is that millionaires, okay, so people that I would say that aren't millionaires or billionaires, or people that may be financially challenged, we'll use that word today, right? So they look on problems. So they have an issue or problem in life, and then they'll say, and they'll sit there and complain about it all the time, right? They just complain about problems. Millionaires and billionaires look at problems, love problems, because they always try to find solutions for problems, right? Entrepreneur is someone that provides a solution to a problem, right? That figures out how to serve many, many, many people. If you want to make some money, you serve like a few people, right? Or you solve a problem for a few people. If you want to make a lot of money, you solve a problem for a lot of people. And if you want to make millions or billions, you solve a problem for millions and billions of people. I just read an article this morning, and it talked about Google. And a lot of people, look at Google as a search engine and whatnot, but one of the guy that actually wrote the article, I guess he just did a tour of Google and whatnot, and he was introduced to a lot of the big projects that they have. And every one of their projects that they're working on right now is something that will affect the lives of millions, I mean, of billions of people. They're not working on anything that could just help out 100 people or 500 people. They're looking for solutions to problems for billions of people. So to kind of even give you another example, The guy that started Uber back in 2010, how he started Uber was that he was at a conference in Paris in 2010, and he couldn't find a taxi. And he got really frustrated, right? That was a problem because he couldn't find a taxi to get where he was going. And that's where he developed the idea for Uber. Here it is, 5 years later, Uber is worth over $50 billion.
Isn't that something? So you are suggesting that people find a need and fulfill that need.
Absolutely.
And not just for a few people, but if you want to really make money, you have to be that or serve millions of people.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, look for, and that's the biggest difference is that, you know, people that are financially challenged, they look at problems and they sit there and complain about the problems, complain, complain, complain. People that are very successful, they look at that problem and they may complain a little bit in the beginning, but they said, you know what, how can I find a solution to this problem? And they realize that, you know what, if they find a solution, if they look to serve first, right, look to help people out, then people will pay them. And that's how they make money. When I look at some of the most successful companies that are out there right now, right? Facebook. Facebook did not start with a monetization plan. YouTube did not start with a monetization plan, right?
You mean they did not start with the intention of making money.
Exactly, right? They just found a need and they decided to serve that need. And then the money came. Facebook is worth what, like $200-300 billion right now? $400 billion?
Wow.
Right. And he didn't start off and say, okay, I'm going to start this little social networking site because I know people will pay me a whole bunch of money. He started out to connect other people. Right. And now it's billions of people that use Facebook all over the world.
Interesting. Interesting. So you have a really tremendous book out. And I just love it.
Thank you.
It's actually how you can get a better life within 30 days. It's Repeat After Me by Coach Mark Todd. And it is really unique because every day a person can take a chapter and apply it to their life. And it's like they're rewiring their brain when they practice it throughout the day. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my goal with this book was to develop a book for people that are just being introduced to personal development. So literally, like you said, there's 30 chapters in it, but it takes you about 10 to 15 minutes to read a chapter, right? Now, I study personal development for hours every single day, but everybody can't, you know, just because of life and whatnot, can't start off dedicating hours a day to improving themselves, even though we all should, right? So just take 10 or 15 minutes a day, you read the chapter for the day and apply what you've learned inside that chapter. And I guarantee you within 30 days, when you finish that book, if you apply what you learn, it will literally change your life and get you going on the right track.
Wow. What I love about your book is that you have inspirational paragraphs that right. makes you stop and think, oh, wow, yeah, he's right on target. Like what you say at the very beginning, everything in life is either a lesson or a blessing. And when your perspective becomes right, the lessons become blessings. How cool Absolutely. Is that? I love that. That is Absolutely. Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And you've just got so many things in here that, again, doing this every day for 30 days, you can't help but to rewire the way that you're thinking. You are programming yourself to be successful with every chapter.
Absolutely. And what, you know, what people need to realize is that either you're going to reprogram yourself the right way, or life is going to program you the way that it wants to program you. And most of the time, 99.99999% of the time, life has programmed us the wrong way, you know? So we need to go in and take control and reprogram ourselves the right way.
I love this. And you're giving this book away.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Like, you know, what I decided that I wanted to do was I wanted, instead of me trying to make a bunch of money off of the book and whatnot, my goal is to give away the book to whoever needs it. right? So I have people can go to my website and they can actually download the book for free. You put in your information and it'll send you an email back where you can download it and get the book for free. Now, if you want to buy a physical copy of the book, I'm selling the physical copies, but I'm literally giving those away as well, you know? And I won't sell one copy because I want people to apply the, you know, to be able to take advantage of some of the principles that I talk about. So you have to buy at least two copies, right? And but I'm selling two copies for $10. So really and truly, I'm giving you a copy for free so you can share and bless somebody else and then instantly be able to re reap the benefits of giving, of sharing, you know? So that's kind of what I'm doing. And I have, you know, I have other packages like five for $20, 10 for $35, which, you know, 10 for $35, that means the book's $3.50 a piece. You know, I'm not making any money off of that. But it's more important for me to get the book out and share it with as many people as possible. That's my goal.
You know, what really is prosperity thinking is when you give something like this to a friend, and so that it helps them. So you're actually inspiring somebody else. I think this is wonderful. I like the way that you're doing it by doing like five at a time, because I can right off the top of my head think of five people that I need to give this book to just
Absolutely.
so they can read it
Right.
every single day. They just need to get a different perspective of life, and this book has it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the way that the book is formatted, it's in a very, very, very easy to read format, you know? So I made the book in mind for the traditional person that probably doesn't like to read, that they open up, you know, anything that has they're intimidated by anything that looks like the Bible or the yellow pages that has all these words in it and whatnot. So the book is just really fun. It's colorful, easy to read, and anybody can read it. I've had people that don't read, like I've read this whole book in one sitting, you know?
Yeah,
So
that's wonderful. That is really wonderful. So tell people how they can go about getting this book.
okay, all you have to do is go to www.repeataftermebook.com. That's repeataftermebook.com. It's going to ask you for your information. You just put in your name and your email address and whatnot, and then it's going to take you to a thank you page, and then it's going to send you an email from me, coachmarkspeaks@gmail.com. And then in that, there is a link to download the book for free, the PDF version of the book for free. If for some reason it doesn't download correctly, because some people that have Android phones have told me that they've had some issues, just send me an email, just reply to that Coach Mark Speaks email, and I will directly send you the PDF.
You know, I personally think people ought to, when they're at work, they need to download this book so that they can read a chapter every single morning before they start work, because that's
Absolutely.
going to motivate them to have a much better day and a much successful day
Right.
by reading this. And that's what makes it so important. So, Coach Mark, I was listening to your fantastic Power in a Half Hour
Yes, ma'am.
the other day, and it is so good. I loved it. You were talking about how you were wanting to speak in public, and that story just grabbed me because it was really the same thing that happened to me. So to give that story here to everyone.
Okay, I decided a few years ago that I wanted to, you know, reach and touch as many people as possible, but I could not speak. I've always been petrified to speak in front of people, right? So, you know, being that I had a really successful graphic design and printing company in the entertainment industry, I was always asked to come and speak on panels and whatnot, and I would literally have to have one of the guys that would I would either turn the offer down, or I'd have to have one of the guys that work with me come on stage with me. You know, I was like literally petrified. And about 2 years, it was exactly 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago, August, I just decided that, you know what, I'm gonna do this thing. So I signed up for this 6 week speaking course, and the first week we all had to go up and introduce ourselves. So we had to take 2 minutes to introduce ourselves. I could not even do that. And I went up. No. I waited. I tried to let everybody else go, and I'm hoping that the time runs out so I didn't have to go, right? So time didn't run out, and I went up. I'm the only person that went on stage with a note card to introduce myself. It was crazy. And I was there I was just stumbling the whole way through. And after I finished, and then my friend was with me, and he's just a great speaker. So he was just like phenomenal. So after we left, we're walking to the car, and I remember thinking to my, I remember saying to him, I'm going to finish this course. The old me would have said, you know what, nah, this isn't for me, and quit, and would have really been embarrassed. But I wasn't embarrassed. I just said, you know what? And I remember calling my mom up and say, you know what, I was absolutely horrible today, but I'm going to work on it. I'm going to practice it, and by the end of this course, I'm going to graduate as the one of the best people in the course. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
After the course finished, when we were on the last day, I'm telling you, I went up to speak, and everybody came up to me after, like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is what happened after 6 weeks. And even the teachers of the course said, man, you were the best person, So, and
Wow.
I just, once you make up your mind that this is what you have to do, you just realize that this is just what you have to do, and you work at it. That's how you get great at anything, is just work at it. Everybody starts off not that good, and you just work at it, work at it, work at it, and trust me, you'll start to develop.
That is so great. And look at you today.
Yeah. And don't look at me today. Look at where I'm going to be in 2 years or 5 years from now. It's going to be even
Oh,
that
wow.
much better, because I'm working at my craft every day, just trying to develop myself and just become better. As I become better, what I say becomes better, and I'm able to help more and more people. So that's what's really important to me.
So you, when you help people, or you have a goal, you're not focusing on the amount of money that you need to bring in. You are simply focusing on serving people.
Absolutely. Like right now, and that's not to say that there's anything wrong with charging or anything like that, because at some point in time I'm going to have courses and whatever. But right now I haven't done anything to charge anybody for anything. I just do these pound and a half hour calls, and I do a live call every Monday night, and I'm on a bunch of radio stations all over, and I've done everything just out of my pocket for free, just to help as many people as I possibly can, and I'll figure out, and people always come to me like, man, you have something really great. How are you making money? How are you going to charge? I said, I'm not worried about all of that. When the time is right, then that's when the time is right, and it'll figure itself out, and I just, right now I'm just focused on helping as many people as possible,
Wow,
so.
that's great. And people need that right now. So
Yes.
the first thing that you would tell somebody to do when you are just for the first time speaking directly to them, to motivate them, to get them going in that direction, to get or to change their perspective, what would you say to them?
The first thing that I usually tell anyone to do is to go ahead and work on developing themselves, And people don't want to, generally people want you to tell them some super secret, something that nobody else knows. But I mean, that's the key. It's just work on developing yourself. Like, it kind of reminds me, I don't know if you remember this movie from the 80s, The Karate Kid.
Oh, yes.
And you remember when Daniel and Mr. Miyagi was, when Mr. Miyagi had Daniel like waxing the floors and washing
Right.
the cars and all that stuff.
And
And those are the
painting.
right and painting, right, and sanding the floors. And Daniel couldn't understand why he had to do all that stuff, because that stuff seemed very, very basic. But all of those skills that he learned are the skills that helped him to do the other stuff, And I tell people all the time, you have to work on developing yourself, helping to building up your confidence, Because without that confidence, if you don't have any confidence in yourself, then you'll start anything, but then you'll quit. Once it gets hard, you'll quit, So you have to just, start listening to all the people. We've listened all of our lives to people that tell us why we can't do something or that we're not good enough. Start listening to the people like your show and all the other shows that tell you why you can, why you must, why you have to do it, and why you're able to do it. And you start listening, and you start hearing hearing that same message over and over and over again, then guess what? You start believing it, right?
Yeah,
and then you tune into your higher self. You tune into God within you. Then you get the ideas. You'll know exactly what it is that you're supposed to do. And then when it gets rough, when it gets difficult, you're not going to want to quit, because you're going to say, hey, you know what? I know what I'm destined to do. I have to keep going, you know? You may have to stop for a day, you know, because you might get a little worried, weary, but you'll keep going. You're going to keep going. And that's how you get to where it is that you want to go to.
This is so important for us today. You know, in the last few years, we've seen the middle class shrink up dramatically. But with this kind of approach, we can actually change the collective consciousness from thinking lack, which is what's happening,
Absolutely.
To thinking individually of success. It's going to change everything. It's going to change the world, actually,
Absolutely.
Because you're going to see a dramatic shift. So it is imperative for everyone to get on this bandwagon, because you can. There's nothing stopping you from right. being success, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, once you really study these people that are really successful, you realize that they're no different than me and you, right? Mm-hmm. They're no different than any of us. They just came up with a great idea that generally helps and serves a lot of people. And they just, they had the belief within themselves or within whatever it was that they were doing. And they just continued with it. And they didn't give up, you know, even when it got hard, they continued with it, you know, and that's the key. that's the key. You know, you'll figure everything else along the way. A lot of these people didn't have, Google didn't realize that they were going to, I just read that they're developing a bracelet that will draw, if you have cancer, this bracelet, you have this bracelet on, it will attract, it will bring in all the cancer cells towards this bracelet to help people get rid of cancer.
Wow.
Now, when Google started, they're developing cars that can drive themselves, right? When
right.
Google started, they didn't have these ideas, right? They just wanted to have a good web browser or something like that. And, you know, so you'll figure it out along the way. But the key is that you just have to go ahead and get started, you know? Have the confidence in yourself that whatever it is that you initially want to do, just get started. Just start moving in that direction and everything else will figure itself along the way, you know?
Wow. This is powerful. Powerful. And, you know, to all the listeners out there, you've got to listen to his show. You've
yes.
got to listen to his show, because it has so much information. It's such a motivating factor that you could actually listen to his power in a half hour while you're driving to work. You can listen to it on Stitcher. You can listen to it anywhere on your cell phone. And not only that, you got to get his book. I mean, if he's offering it for free, why would you not take advantage of it?
Right. I tell people, I have a money back guarantee.
So yeah. Tell us again how they go get your book.
Okay. So all you have to do to get my book is go to www.repeataftermebook.com. And then once you get there, you're going to enter in your information. Once you do that, it takes you to a thank you screen, and then it automatically sends you an email with the download link. So repeataftermebook.com. And that is the best way to find it. You know, find me on Facebook. My name on Facebook is Mark Starr, or look for The Real Mark Starr. You know, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and all those other stuff, but I mainly use Facebook, but you know.
And you know what would be great, because Christmas is coming up. Go mm-hmm. and buy the hard copies and give this book out to people who you think need it.
Exactly.
This is very, very powerful. Again, you are not only helping yourself, but you are shifting the collective consciousness so that we can start all living in abundance and get us away from that lack mentality. Mark, you are a definite blessing to this world. I am thrilled that you're on Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you.
Just know the listeners are going to get so much from you.
Thank you so much.
This is so terrific. So with that, my dear friend, Coach Mark, we're going to wrap it up, but and encourage everyone to get the book and listen to your show.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an honor, and I appreciate, first of all, I appreciate you for interviewing me. I appreciate you for having me on your network. I mean, it's an honor for me to be able to share, you know, a little bit that I know with your audience, you know, and I just, I'm so thankful for that.
Well, oh no, I think you are fulfilling a life's purpose here, and we need to gravitate towards you so that we can get more knowledge. It's just serving all of us, and that's very important. So, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.